There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh, culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And how is she?
She's good. I guess it's brewski o'clock. I'm clutching my Dale's Pale Ale in one hand.
And I love Dale's for you. I am drinking an Elysian Night Owl Pumpkin Ale, which is sort of crazy for, you know, the month of April.
Can I ask you how long that's been sitting in your fridge?
Going on months now, Bo.
Okay.
You're never going to believe this, but I actually accrued about 40 pumpkin
That's
beers.
That's right.
Do you remember this? I said on this podcast, you can't get a good pumpkin beer in LA. And the readers, you came through. You were sending me a fleet, a true fleet of pumpkin beers. They are still in my fridge and I'm making a dent in it today.
Oh my goodness. I'm not, you know me, I'm not always a beer guy.
Not really, no.
But I feel like there's something so commanding in our guest's presence,
mm-hmm.
where she held up the most beautiful tall glass of beer I've ever seen in my life.
One of the tallest glasses in America, we should say.
That was one of the tallest glasses in the country.
It was one of the tallest glasses I've seen in this great country of ours. And I have to say, I thought maybe for a second we were drinking just some sort of like thick Prosecco. And then it was revealed to be a beer. And so we're all celebrating with some brewskis right now.
We are. She's off the clock from her quote unquote day job, and she's Oof. Relaxing with us. I mean, aren't you so thrilled that our guest is here?
This is beyond. This is how I know, Bo, that the podcast has, you know, quote unquote, made it.
Yeah.
And, you know, though, despite the fact that the podcast has received critical acclaim and been cited in academic work for our insight into the entertainment industry,
this
I do
true.
Have to say that this may be the highest accomplishment thus far is securing the guest.
I absolutely agree. We are such fans of hers. We both loved
Get a load of it.
The memoir. We're holding it in our hands right now.
Podcasts are famously not a visual medium. If they were, you would see that we are holding the guest's, like, just incredible book, Love Me As I Am, which is out on April
12th.
Don't wait till the 13th, hon. If you're out there waiting, it's not a good idea because you can go on the 12th.
And get the pre-orders in, why don't
you? I mean, you were saying earlier about how you ran to our guest at some sort of fancy event. And just watching you guys sort of discuss fancy pre-awards events, I was just like, I have so much to learn.
Night before is what they're called in the biz. I've had the pleasure of meeting her already with her producing partner, Lisa.
Glam.
Oh my God. Lisa was wonderful. Lisa L. Wilson, Beauvais Wilson Productions. Mm. Well, can we quickly just do a little run through of the credits for our guests?
It's like so fruitless because the credit list is so stacked, but let's just go ahead and say if you're a listener, a reader rather, of this podcast, you certainly know our guests from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And when we say day job, we do mean The Real, which to my eye, and I do have sort of a honed eye, is the best panel show on television.
Yes, we should establish for our guests that Matt has an incredibly wide or diverse palette in terms of daytime television. And for Matt to really love The Real.
The Real's the best.
In a superlative way. It's just superlative after superlative with our guest. The best daytime talk shows.
Jamie Foxx show The House Down, Coming to America. Yes, that is a two. And of course, it's original Coming to America. I mean, we're talking about NYPD Blue. We're talking about, I mean, just, this is an iconic day.
Wait, she's in one of the most iconic episodes of Curb, Your Enthusiasm.
There you go.
With the surrogate.
Also, part of one of the best twists in Marvel history, okay?
Oh my God, you're so right.
Let's not sleep on it, all right?
We can't. Oh my God, this actor is in the MCU. You know, she was in the blip. I think she survived the blip.
Actually, I don't know. I wonder if she knows if she survived the blip or even knows about the blip. We're going to find out.
She's shaking her head. We're going to find out. But we're so excited she's here. The book is Love Me As I Am, out April 12th. Please welcome into your ears,
Garcelle Beauvais.
First of all, I could listen to you guys all damn day.
No, this is a trialogue. You're in this now.
You are so funny, both of you.
Thank you. Hi. Do you know what the blip is?
No, I don't know what the blip is.
Okay, so Thanos, kind of the big baddie in the Avengers movies, snaps his fingers after he gets the Infinity Gauntlet, wipes out half of life, basically, in the universe. So half of the world, it just disappears into dust, as it were. And, you know, for about 3 to 5 years, I don't know what the exact time frame is, you know, the people of Earth are sort of traumatized by this crazy event. And some people survived it, some people did. But then in the end, things are all good and people come back to life.
Oh, well, I hope I'm not in the blip.
I mean, I think what we think about Doris Toombs is, which is, of course, the character's name, she may have perished in the snap and come back in the blip. But who's to say, really?
Who's to say? Who's to say? I have to tell you guys, when I got the offer for this job, first of all, I was, like, playing on the floor with my kids.
Yeah.
My manager calls, as you know that world. And he calls and he goes, "You got a movie offer." And I was like, "Great." And he goes, "But I don't know anything about it and I can't tell you anything about it. And it's a secret project." And I thought, "Well, are you high? Like, who are they used to that?" And then he goes, "It's Marvel." And I said, "Hang up the phone and call them right back."
Yes. And it was a great part. I mean, like, it really, like, there's that scene. So for those who don't know at home, you find out that Doris Toombs, the character played by Garcelle, is not just the mother of Peter Parker's love interest in the film, but the wife of the villain played by Michael Keaton himself.
Yeah. How about that? First of all, Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman. Hands down.
Wow.
So when I flew to Atlanta, we shot there. I didn't even know my part. And the first day I'm in the
trailer,
Michael Keaton comes up and he gives me this big hug and he goes, "I did good picking a wife." And I was like, "What?
Oh my God.
Batman?
Crazy.
Michael, I feel like that is such a perfect, like, vibe sort of encapsulation on your career. It's like people want to work with you.
Crazy. I'm just a little girl from Haiti. I could have been selling coconuts.
But you listed in the book, like, towards the end, like, I get to work with all these amazing actors in this wide breadth of projects. And it really is, like, it hit me by the end. Not that this is new information to me, but I go, wow, she really has had this incredible career.
Right? Like J-Lo when she won her Icon Awards. I'm just getting started, honey.
Yes. No, it really feels like this is like, I mean, we've been fans for a very long time. Like, I always remember you, even way back from the 90s, because I used to watch the Jamie Foxx show. It sometimes would be on in the house.
WB.
You've always just had such an incredible, like, magnetic screen presence. And I always remember seeing you on red carpets and everything. And then, to be honest, like, a couple of years ago, when they said that you were joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that kind of felt like a left field thing for me. But now in watching it and watching you, especially on the second season, really find your way, you are a great housewife. And I feel like it's like,
I still can't believe I am. When people go, you're a housewife, I go, what?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I panicked though. The week before they were going to start airing, you know, my season, I was at home and Bravo was sort of doing a recap of the past season. And I literally freaked out and called my girlfriend and go, oh my God, oh my God. It's incredible.
Was it this moment where you were like, you had the foresight in that moment to be like, oh, I'm going to be on this show and I'm going to be in these little clip supercuts going forward now. Yeah. That's got to be surreal. That's
definitely
surreal.
I mean, like, wow. And I've said this before, like, you know, like you guys are saying about my career, I've done some incredible things here and there. I've worked with some incredible people here and there. I have never gotten more attention than when the announcement of Housewives came out.
Yeah.
I think you wrote about it in the book too, where you were like, you got the offer and it was this calculated risk for you to be like, do I want to do this? What do I gain from this? And I think you said that you gain like this platform being given to you, and then you took that's the thing that you took very seriously. And I feel like you saying this is kind of hopefully proves out that like this was a worthwhile thing for you, that like now, like for you to say that like this is the thing that people know you in right now is a huge deal.
Yeah, it is a huge deal. I mean, you know, the fans are just so invested in all the franchises, but I feel like Beverly Hills is like the mothership, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's unbelievable how people want to know what you're doing, where you're doing it. Well, I've done interviews where people go, the vase in the background is different now. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh. They wanted the backstory on the vase.
Right.
They want to know the drama with the vase.
I use the vase as a short aquarium, and I had Dorit and Kyle in there.
That's right, the goldfish.
And then, you know.
So they're both gone now?
They're gone.
You know, that's what happens with fish.
Kyle and Dorit both dead.
It's the season. It's like friendships on Housewives. They come and go. They change.
They come and go.
But yeah, I was thinking in reading the book and just in watching you as much as we've watched you now, like that does have to be, you know, because I always think when someone has a successful acting career and then they go on Housewives, like it is a risk because, you know, it's sort of opening up people to then make a judgment on you as a person.
Totally.
And I guess nowadays everything kind of blends in a little bit more. Like we see people and they play roles. And I guess maybe because it's social media or because the media is so sensitive now, it seems to matter less. But you have been doing this for a very long time. So that also had to be a consideration. Like, do I want to be a reality star?
Right. Totally. I mean, when my, my team called and they said, you know, they're interested in you for Beverly Hills, they're like, we're going to pass. But since you know so many people, we just want to let you know. And I was like, wait a minute, sleep on it. And they were like, no. And I'm like, no, let me sleep on it. And, you know, I've always done things sort of like outside the box in terms of like, I've written children's books. I've, you know, done television hosting for other shows. So I've always done other things. Mm-hmm. So that for me, I just had to really sit with it. And I didn't want to travel so much. As an actor, so many things are not shot in LA. And I felt like I was always away. And I have my kids half the time. And they were about to go to middle school. And I thought sex, drugs, and rock and roll is knocking at our door. Mm. And I want to be home.
Yeah.
To talk about the sex, drugs, and the rock and roll. So,
yeah.
So when I called them back and I said, you know what? I want to do it. And I always feel like I always say yes to a meeting because you never know, even if it's not for that project. But at least you get to meet new people and who knows, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, let's try it. Let's go for it. And then I obviously had to talk to my ex and my kids. And my son Jax goes, are we getting paid? I'm only in it for the money. And I was like, no, you're not getting paid, but I'll hook you up.
There you go. He gets something, like some bump in his allowance.
You know what? We forgot to mention the podcast, Going to Bed with Garcelle.
Oh, God, let's talk about that.
which, and this is another thing about the book, which I love, is the words getting my back blown out are in this book. So if you think that we are not keeping it absolutely, you say you keep it real in the very first opening lines of the book, you and you fully do that. And then I love that you have a podcast which is like fully focused kind of on that topic, because you talk about how it took you a very long time to sort of get to know yourself like that.
For sure. For sure. Listen, I grew up in a Haitian household, which is very strict. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about anything really that's deep or, you know, controversial. So when I started to, you know, find myself, realize, you know, who I am and what I like, what I don't like, I realized, you know, it's liberating for women now to talk about sex and own it. And, you know, you have songs like WAP and you know, yeah. Women are coming into their own.
Yes. And I also remember it was like, I think it was on Housewives. It was your first lunch with Erica Jayne. And I remember you asked her, how's the sex
with Tom?
And Erica Jayne, like had to take a second to like,
she was chewing. She was chewing food. I think she was mid
chewing, but you know, she was caught off her guard. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, but that is the question we all want to know the answer to. It's the one we haven't asked.
Come on, he was 80 something, right? 81 at the time. And yeah, I mean, she's a hot, hot girl. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was dying to know, like, what are you doing? Are you, you know, servicing and tucking him in and then doing your own thing? Like,
are you servicing and tucking him in? Honestly, where are we at on the scale here?
I don't know.
We really don't know. But I guess that must have taken time to build to that level of candor where you kind of just can straight up ask someone with a camera rolling. How often do you have, I mean, like I feel like that because I relate as a child of immigrants, as an immigrant myself. Like, I mean, we never talked about sex growing up in the house either. We still don't really. And I think I'm still like unlearning a lot of that. And I hope to one day ask someone if they're having sex with their 80-year-old spouse.
I think you can, Bo. I think you're there.
Yeah, you know, we relate on that for sure. I remember when I moved to New York at 17 and I came home to visit my mom and she saw birth control pills in my purse. And she said, "You've had contact." As if we had, you know, we were
spiritual, you know, ghosts.
Like the aliens. You've had contact.
And that was the extent of it.
And that's all Kiki said.
That was it, really. I mean, we never really talked about it. So for me, I mean, once I went to New York, I sort of like, you know, when I say in the book, she gave me the wings to fly. That was my chance to go find who I am, or at least try to figure out who I was and, you know, what I liked and what I didn't like and who I became.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a process. You know, I wouldn't have asked anybody at 17, how's your sex life?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I feel like you are very honest with yourself in this book. And I feel like, I wonder how much you had to catalog the intimate connections you would have with people. Because speaking of the podcast, you did write in the book how you and Jamie, you had Jamie on.
Yeah.
And you guys kind of both waxed nostalgic about your time on the show. And you did mention in the book, and this is just me quoting the book, that there were some like fireworks, like just popping backstage behind the scenes.
A steamy kiss.
I mean, we got to kiss as the character, which was always great. And Jamie would always go, "How many takes do we have time to do?" And
oh my God.
You know, I just want to perfect my craft. But that one steamy kiss was backstage and it wasn't character based. And I mean, he's a great kisser. He's just a great guy, but I knew you don't blank where you eat.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
No. I didn't want to, like, God forbid something happened on episode 6 and we're, you know, not having a good time at work.
Right.
You know, and not to bring Matt and I's experience into this, but I think we are starting to learn that.
It's like literally, I reach for my notebook to write that down. I'm like, it's so funny. I have this notebook here because I've been mainlining the new Brené Brown and I'm like taking notes like I'm like literally
the show,
the Atlas of Your Heart or whatever. Yeah, it's the new HBO Max thing. And so,
is that
like,
good?
It's really good. And honestly, Bowen, you'll be proud of me. Tomorrow I have my, and maybe you will too, Garcelle. Tomorrow I have my very first therapy appointment ever. I'm finally
doing it.
And,
amazing.
And so, like, I'm just very interested now because I just finished a job and I have some time, like, you know, just like, you know, getting to know and just the way she breaks down emotion and everything. So
I love that. You're going to be, you're going to become an amazing person. Not that you're not.
But we can always improve.
We can always grow. Work in progress.
Even like she broke down emotion. She said emotion is biology, biography, behavior, and backstory. And I just think even as an actor, that helps.
Wow.
You know, that's such a interesting, the four B's, that tool. But I reached down to fake write down that advice to myself from you. And I saw
Don't blink where you blink.
Don't blink where you eat.
Eat.
But Bowen and I could learn that better. That's for sure.
That should have been one of my gems.
Oh yes, the gems. You have the gems in the back of the book. There are these beautiful like encapsulations of like you know, all of your sort of principles, I guess, is for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Affirmations. Okay, so I know you guys got the pre-copy. You have to get the actual book because the pictures in there are amazing.
I do want to see pictures.
Tell us what are the pictures of? Tell us.
Oh my God, of everything. Of me as a kid, me with Tom Ford, me with Jamie Foxx. I mean, Michael Jordan. There's a few people in there.
Okay, I loved the Michael Jordan story. So Garcelle tells a great story about basically how Michael Jordan was fully barking up her tree back in the day and you didn't know who he was?
I didn't know who he was.
Unreal.
Oh my God. I went on a go see at Essence Magazine and you know, I got hired for the job. I was going for a fitting and they said, tomorrow you're working with Michael Jordan. And the way they said it, I knew it was somebody that was important, but I didn't know who it was. There was no Google. There was nothing. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Cool.
No idea who he was.
And with that name, Michael Jordan, it could have been anyone in America.
It could have been anybody.
Exactly. And the next day, he was just a tall guy to you? Like, you still didn't know who he was?
He was a tall chocolate man.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't have been nicer, and the way everybody was fawning. And so after the shoot, I called home and my brother was like, are you kidding?
Oh my gosh. That is truly unreal.
He was great.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes. We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my
It's gosh. Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HelixPartner20 HelixPartner20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
So I have a question. I think it was your first season was when you went out to lunch with Sheree Zampino and all of y'all's friends. And now Sheree is on the show.
Yes.
So, and you mentioned that you dated Will Smith. Like, was that before Sheree? Or what was the deal with that?
I think actually we talked about this the other day. I can't remember. It was after her marriage. They were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing Fresh Prince. And I did like 4 episodes of Fresh Prince. And
that's
like,
right.
That was 2 different characters. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh, you played 2 different characters?
Yeah. And so
we liked her. Bring her back.
Exactly. Bring her back. And I was an ingenue. He was single and a TV star. So we went out a couple of times. It wasn't a long lasting relationship, but I remember one day calling him and he was in the car and his son with Sheree was in the back. So he picked up on in the car and Bluetooth or whatever it was back in the day or speakerphone. And he said, hey, how you doing? And I said, I'm great. And I heard this little voice in the background go, is that Miss Jada?
Oh my God.
And that's when I was like, okay, I'm not the only one. Exit stage left.
Unbelievable.
Like you to be like, girl, it is not about you. You better get out of there.
It still could have been about you.
No, please. If a kid knows somebody, then that person's a little bit more important. Right?
But you're not going to like fight for that spot?
No, because it wasn't like that.
Okay. I get it.
It was cash.
This is something pretty historic about you, Garcelle. For there to be 2 actors playing one role in Aunt Viv, you might be one of the only people in the Fresh Prince universe to be the same actor playing multiple parts.
I know. That was so crazy. I came in as... when he went to school, when he got to the private school. And then I came back as a different character in the apartment when they had that big guy come in and we had to hide him. I mean, it was crazy. It was shenanigans, but it was such a cool show. Like, we didn't have a lot of shows that were for us in a way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what made Jamie Foxx's show so special, is because it was one of those like jewels in the crown of like black sitcoms.
Totally.
That's great. I mean, there's another story in the book about Eddie Murphy being like another like one that kind of got away. And,
yeah.
I mean, but you reunite with these men like that. But that's what's so like mature about this whole thing is, and so beautiful, and kind of speaks to your you know, your perspective over the years is that you can still like approach these people in this very professional way that still has a lot of emotion and heart and memory associated to them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I think for me, my background and the way I was raised has a lot to do with, it's like my foundation, right? So with Eddie, we worked, you know, on Coming to America, the original. And listen, there were so many beautiful women on that set. It was like we were all hired just for that, right? I had gone up for the lead role, which I had no business doing. I knew nothing about acting. And so, of course, I didn't get that part. But John Landis, I remember, called my modeling agency. I didn't even have an agent. And he was like, if she wants to be in the business, this is a great way for her to see what it's like and be a part of it. And it was like a 3-month shoot. And so I decided to do it. And everybody was vying for him. I mean, you know, I'm sure. But yeah, we had a really great chemistry and he was really cool and really, he was such a gentleman.
Yeah.
And even then when he was, his star was rising, there was something about him that was still a gentleman. And I like that.
Yeah. Classy guy. Really classy guy. I barely sort of, you know, crossed paths with him when he was hosting SNL a couple years ago. But it was such like a, I mean, all of us like sat around being like, we wouldn't be here without him. You know, like this man saved the show. You know, like it would have just ended after, you know, 5-10 seasons or whatever.
It was great to see him back on the stage. It really was. It was phenomenal to see.
So it's fun.
We talk a lot about all these roles that you've played, but you really do seem so comfortable being yourself on the reel. And then I didn't know that was one of your ambitions, like from way back, was to always wanting to be a talk show host.
And always. I mean, I didn't know it was a talk show host, but I thought journalism, entertainment, you know. And I remember we had, you know, like, you know how you have in school, you have a channel at school and, you know, we'd get to go up and tell the news or whatever was happening. And I always wanted to do that. And so even before acting, and I remember my agents and, you know, my people would always say, but you're doing so well. Like, why would you want to do that? And at that time, people weren't really diversifying.
Yeah.
You know, if you were an actor, you were strictly an actor. If you were a model, you were strictly that. And so I waited and waited and then finally got the chance.
You tell a story about spending a week at The View.
Oh my God. Oh, this.
I really couldn't believe that. Because it's like, you do. I mean, everyone needs to get the book to, especially like people that listen to this podcast, like loved when we talked about like the ladies who punch, however, you know, people want to receive that. But it is so fascinating. Like The View is such a integral part of pop culture. And there is that fascination about what goes on behind the scenes because, you know, you hear certain things. And then I would imagine that when you go there and you do sort of get at this in the book too, you just think it can't possibly be the reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
It can't actually be that. And then it is.
Yeah. And what was really like the juxtaposition of both is I was in Haiti when I got the call that they wanted me to come do a week. So here I am in a country that, you know, there's not a lot. Mm-hmm. And the women in Haiti are so prideful, whether you have a nickel or whether you have, you know, more money. It's just like there's a sense of pride and ownership and faithful, you know, hopefulness. And so going from there where, you know, there's a lot of lack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flying to New York where there's everything, right? And I go and I was just expecting like, come on in, Garcelle. We're so excited. And it was like, oh, who's here today? That was pretty much how it was. And in a way, I get the sense of there was a lot of, they weren't sure who was staying. There was a lot of different people in the chair.
Right.
So I get that. But at the same time, for me, if someone comes into my home, I'm always welcoming.
Of course.
Of course. Absolutely. Can we get specific about some of these interactions? So, I mean, I guess multiple women on the panel were just sort of, you know, terse, for lack of a better word.
That's a good word.
And it feels, I think I was just pretty agape when I was reading this, like, oh my gosh. But I guess it's no surprise to someone like Matt, who really is well-versed in The View and yeah, like, Matt, knows
what's
like,
going on.
Well, did I ever tell you this is our first time meeting, Garcelle? Did I ever tell you about the time? No, this is so funny.
I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
No, but you know what? Bowen and I went to The View one time.
We did.
And we were in the audience just because. And actually, it was because, so I'm a huge Kelly Clarkson fan, and she was a guest on the show. So I guess a producer on the show was like, we can get them tickets. People that listen to this podcast have heard us tell the story, but
were you on SNL at the time?
No.
It's funny because it was the day that I got the call that I was hired to be a writer. But it was a really tough day because Matt and I had both auditioned, had screen tested the same year.
They brought us both in twice, and that was the day we found out that they were offering Bowen a job and not me. So it was a lot, and we were going through it.
It was an emotional day, yeah.
But the one thing that like broke the tension between us and like really made us laugh
was going to the View,
and they did this dance contest, like where all the women in the audience like did this goofy little dance, and the crowd motivator was like, all right, we're gonna have the panelists are gonna say who won, and she goes, Whoop, who won the dance contest? And Whoopi just goes, I don't give a fuck about this. It was both iconic and also filled in a lot about probably what the situation is there.
Yeah.
But
it was very informative. That one moment was very informative.
Totally, totally.
I mean, we screamed laughing.
That is hilarious. And I'm sorry you didn't get it.
Oh, that's okay. I'm doing just fine.
I know you are. I know
he really is. He really is.
I know you are. This story, I'm going to sidebar a little bit. I used to model with Cameron Diaz. Mm-hmm. And Cameron Diaz, yeah, in LA. We used to model together, and she's the greatest girl. And I remember we used to model with this other girl named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had an audition for, what's the first movie Cameron Diaz did?
Was it something about Mary?
The Mask?
Or The Mask. The Mask, maybe?
The Mask, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So they were supposed to hang out, and Elizabeth said to Cameron, come with me, and then we'll hang out right after.
Wait, oh my God, I've heard this story.
Yes, and the casting director goes, are you reading for this? And Cameron goes, no, I'm just with her. And they're like, no, you need to read with her. And then Cameron becomes a big star.
Yeah.
But you sort of have that same story too, where you were tagging along with a friend who was playing an extra, who was doing background work.
Yes.
And then that sort of like gave you the bug, yeah.
Yeah, that totally gave me the bug. I didn't know what an extra was. And he's like, it's $75 a day. And I was like, count me in. That was big money. Uh-huh. And this was in Miami. And so it was an orange juice commercial. And on the second day, I had the courage to go up to one of the principal actors, and it was this really pretty black girl. And I said, hey, I want to do what you're doing. And she, like Whoopi said, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And so I found out who her agency was, which is Irene Marie. And so I borrowed my mom's car, driving to Fort Lauderdale. I stopped at a red light.
This is insane.
I put my head out the window to check my makeup. I decided that I needed lip gloss. I'm in my purse now looking for lip gloss. A hand comes in the car, scares the shit out of me. And it's a card. It's the woman who was in the traffic light behind me. And she's like, you should be a model. And when I look at the card, it's the agency I was going to without an appointment.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yeah. That is a sign.
That's one of those stories, though, that like you don't really get anymore in the business now. It's like people just discover people through like, you know, social media, which is great. But there's something like so like legendary about something like that. And I've known about this story, like from reading in the book and from seeing your interviews, but it just still like gives me a little like.
Me heart. Too, and I lived it.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. You can't make that up.
It's so funny too, because like, I remember when I was younger and I would read stories about like, you know, so-and-so was discovered on the street. I remember when I moved, when I moved to New York at 18, Bowen and I went to NYU. And so we both moved to New York at 18, very similar age to you. And it really is when you talk about like, you know, New York City is like, it's the most exciting city in the world. But when you first get there, it is so lonely and so crazy because everyone knows exactly where they're going and what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I remember like, I said to myself, you know what I should just do? Walk the streets, because you can get discovered. So I would go out there, and like it was like the first week of NYU, and I would just go walk around, like trying to look like I was somebody or going somewhere. And someone did stop me And they said, Bowen, have I ever told you this?
I don't think this is the first time I'm hearing this.
And Garcelle, did I ever tell you this? No.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm walking on the street and someone did come up to me and was like, I'm not kidding you. They were like, have you ever thought of modeling? And I was like, literally in the back of my head, I was like, it's happening.
I did it. Yeah.
It's happening to me. I've been in New York for less than a week and I'm being asked to be a high fashion model. So I take the guy's card and obviously it's one of those like scams, which is like to get like little Twinkie boys on roofs and take their shirts off. So I did. I did unfortunately like take some like creepy photos on a roof when I was 18. So not as glamorous as your story, but I also don't know where those photos are.
Oh my God. We have to find those photos. That's no,
yeah, please. I'm going to get my people on it.
We all start somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the lesson.
I have to say, Bowen, I was so excited to see you. And I told you this when, you know, the night before party. The iceberg is the funniest thing I have seen.
Thank you, Garcelle.
I mean, I was like, who is this guy? Over and over again.
That's so sweet. And I will say, I was there with A.D. Bryant and Vanessa Bayer, Matt's co-star in this upcoming Showtime show. But the three of us were kind of like walking around, kind of like rolling our eyes, going, oh, whatever.
It's and just there a were bunch a of lot of A-list people. Stars in there, by the way, at this
There
point.
Really were. And but I just want to say that the three of us were the most excited and starstruck to see you. And Lisa, and Lisa was so wonderful. Oh, we were so excited. We like stopped. We were like telling her, we were like, we're so on your side in all of the different conflicts.
It was the height of hashtag Team Garcelle. I mean, I remember they all texted me after that because, and I'm telling you, like on the set of my new show, which I'm on a show with Molly Shannon and Vanessa Bayer.
Shannon is so talented.
Yeah.
So
number talented. One. And wait till you see her in this. But like, so they all jam about Housewives all the time and everyone is Team Garcelle, obviously. How could you not be? But before we ask about the culture that made you say culture was for you, I did just want to ask about the experience of being on the show in that second season. Because I remember like there were more and more difficult conversations that happened, I think, your second year than your first year.
Yeah.
And you talk in the book about, you know, your exchange with Kyle, who I've always liked Kyle on the show and really was shocked when she pulled that stuff on the reunion, when she accused you of not paying the charity.
Yeah.
And then when you had that conversation with her, that sit down, I do actually think it changed the show so much for the better because that type of conversation really needed to be had. And then as the season progressed, I actually thought that while a lot of those conversations were successful, some of them I felt like I'm specifically thinking about the scene where you all were at dinner. I think it was you were on a trip and they ended up sort of like really coming down on you to the point where you sort of broke down a little bit because they weren't taking you. They weren't believing you when you said you felt like an other in the group.
Yeah.
And I felt, and this is something that I think I talked with you, Bowen, about too, that the show kind of framed it as like, and we finally got to know who Garcelle was more in that moment. But also part of me felt like, wow, you really needed to break this woman down at this dinner for you to understand even a little bit. And it did feel a little vulture-ish to me. Like they were waiting to break you down in that moment. Yeah. And we know that certain women on the show play certain roles. You know, I love Lisa Rinna. I love watching her as a character on television, but sometimes I feel like it maybe goes a little far. And I felt like that was one instance. And I wondered if you could speak to that outside of being edited on the show to say a certain thing.
Yeah. No, you know, that was really hard for me. And when I kept on saying that I felt sort of like other, it's because I truly felt that way. I didn't,
of course, feel
like, you know, anyone really reached out when, you know, if we're supposed to be real friends, like weren't reaching out outside of the show.
Yeah.
I felt like when I spoke, I wasn't being heard. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I wasn't also sometimes being seen. So it just kept on building up and building up and building up. And you're right. A lot of people were like, it's a shame you had to break down for them to actually see you and get to know you. But at the same time, I feel like that helped me too.
It did. Okay.
Because it allowed me to let them see me be vulnerable, which is crazy that I needed to do that. But I felt like it did make me closer to some of them.
Yeah.
But it's a tough show. I mean, it's the hardest job I've ever had, honestly. Only because
really?
It's me. It's not a character. I can't behind it. People really care and are invested. And what's hard for me is connecting with someone and then, but not trusting it 100%.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's what's really hard. It's like, yeah, I can be friends with them, but do I trust them?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've struck a great friendship with Sutton and Kyle. And I love that Kyle was open enough to hear me and have that conversation. I really do. Because what I was trying to say is, and I say this in the book, the fact that she knew how to get in touch with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all chipped in to get 5,000 masks when you couldn't get masks anywhere for a hospital. And so we all paid for that. So, like, why wouldn't I pay for this charity? And but
also, you're good for $5,000. I mean, come on, what the hell?
Like, yeah.
And so, but when I spoke to her, I felt like she really got it. We didn't have to labor it. But being on the show, if you have a diverse, you know, housewife, how are you not going to have diverse conversations?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't think they've ever really had to have those type of conversations until I came along.
And there was a different tone to the conversations you were having compared to, and I happen to be a fan of both styles, but Crystal was having very sort of, I would say not explosive, but just like, just very to the point. She was very to the point. I feel like your sort of style and approach is to offer some grace and some latitude for people to realize, you know,
there's a difference.
Their actions, but to also, absolutely. But then to also bring your vulnerability into it is very brave. And I will say something that really stayed with me from the reunion this past season was, you know, I don't know where things stand with you and Lisa now, but I think Rinna, but like you and Rinna sort of had this pretty intense exchange where you were really like holding your own against
you
her.
Killed
she was
the
really
reunion.
Coming after you,
killed
you and
it.
you killed it. But you were, I mean, you were very solid and steady the whole time. And then she finally, you know, has that moment where she crosses over, sits next to you, and it's like, can we please just move on from this? And there's that pause. And I don't know if it's the editing or what, but the there's that pause, and then the way you just look into her eyes and say, "You got it." I was like, "Wow, what a beautiful moment of classiness and of grace and
forgiveness." You talk about it in the book.
Thank you. I mean, you know, I've known Rinna for 20 years. You know what I mean? And I think a little bit of her has changed with the show, but at the same time, I was willing to say, okay, let's really go for this. And I can't wait for you to see this new season.
I'm excited. I mean, I said from the beginning when you first had the scene with Shuri and all those ladies, I was like, where's that show? And so now to have Shuri on the cast, I wonder, did that make it so much more fun, or how did it change the dynamic for you?
No, it was great. And it's so funny because she comes in and she goes, "Did you call for backup?"
I can already hear that line in the trailer.
Exactly. And it's been great. I mean, she comes in like it maybe, you know, in like episode eight or whatever. But yeah, it's just nice not to be the only one in the room.
Yay.
It's nice to have someone that I know has my back, you know, and it's been it's been fun. And every now and then, more now than then, she will look at me and she goes, "Girl, what you get me into? What the
I know.
Hell?" She'll just look at me and she'll go, "What the hell?"
Was Aspen one of those times?
Oh, yeah. She had no idea. That was her first trip. And she was like, I just can't.
It sounds like that will go down in history, this upcoming Aspen trip.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll leave it at that.
Seven, probably my last.
Oh, my God. And just with the town of Aspen?
not the town of Aspen, really. But, you know, it was just a lot. I mean, in 3 days, we did so much.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know,
it's
really
a very pack
in
those
trips. A lot happened. Yeah.
Yes. It's very
and
active.
And when is the new season? May 11th?
May 11th. Yeah.
Love it.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You know, Matt, every day I am looking for new ways to reach my money goals.
I know you are, Bowen, and I also know that that leaves room for little rewards and treats along the way.
Like, for instance, every day that I save, I leave room at the end of the week for a special delivery order.
With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Sometimes you have an emergency and overdrafts happen. With Chime, you and your friends can spot each other by using boosts to increase your overdraft limits.
Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress.
Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
No monthly fees or maintenance fees.
And over 60,000 fee-free ATMs.
To date, Chime has spotted members over 20 billion.
Take control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees.
Open your account in minutes at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found FrameBridge.
I found FrameBridge too. FrameBridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a FrameBridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging, or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. FrameBridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's FrameBridge.com.
All right, so let's transition, Bo. What do you say we ask Garcelle the question?
I'd love to. Go ahead.
Garcelle. So here's the thing. Here on Lost Culture, we love to ask this following question. What was the culture that made you say culture was for you? This is that formative thing in the pop culture lexicon. Movies, music, television can be like just something that was in your surroundings that made you, when you look back, you.
Oh, for me, it's a couple of things. I think, you know, culture for me started when I heard R&B music. Mm-hmm. In my soul, I would go visit my cousins in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And that's the first time I heard R&B. And I was like, what is that? Because obviously I heard, you know, Haitian music and compa and salsa and all that stuff. But to hear R&B, I was like, what is that? Who is singing? And it was everything to me. And then from there, I would have to say, like TV shows, like Good Times. That was, mm-hmm. I didn't see us like, you know, on TV a lot. So that was it. And then I would say, I would jump to Clueless. That was culture.
Yes, yes.
That was Beverly Hills. That was Rich Kids. That was, you know, that was big for me. I hate to say that.
You know what's funny? You are our second housewife we've had on, and Dr. Wendy Osefo was the first, and she said Clueless.
No, she
said
not.
Clueless.
She did.
Said Clueless.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also she's a Nigerian immigrant, and she said that was like, she had, like, especially seeing like Dion, and
yes!
then she said, yeah.
Yes, Dion was everything. Everybody wanted Dion. Mm-hmm. All the girls wanted Dion. Oh my God. From there, I would say, would Thelma and Louise be culture?
Oh my God, absolutely.
Would Thelma and Louise be culture?
That's when I discovered my husband in my head, Brad Pitt. Uh-huh. And he was jumping on the bed shirtless.
Yes.
I mean, I think that was the first time that I got moist.
I mean, in many ways, same. It did things to my body I didn't know were possible.
Yeah.
It really is such a visceral sex appeal.
I mean.
But even now, like, we just saw him in The Lost City. And
I want to see that.
Someone's in it.
I'm in it for 2 seconds.
You're in it.
I'm just for a scene, no, barely.
So what?
It was so fun. We shot in the DR and it was lovely. It was in Haiti. I know, but it was just, what a beautiful part of the world.
What did you shoot with?
I shot with Sandy Bullock and your co-star Channing Tatum.
I'm so sorry, Sandy.
Yeah,
Sandy. Hello. We're on Sandy terms.
She's in the phone as Sandy.
Sandy B. But then it was also with Channing Tatum, your co-star.
Oh my God, Channing Tatum, yes. So White House Down, I go to shoot, I'm in the trailer, I come out of the trailer, and Channing is walking towards me. I swear to God, it was slow motion. And I could not believe somebody was that fine. I could not believe.
He's incredibly, incredibly handsome. Oh, and so nice, so wonderful.
So nice.
Yeah, really great guy. But I think I had that same sensory experience too, but in terms of like, it felt so like that is a movie star. Like the air in the room just like changes.
That is a movie star.
I remember the first time I saw Channing Tatum in Coach Carter, and I was like, absolutely. Coach Carter, he was literally one of the high school, it's like a basketball movie.
And I know the movie. I didn't even realize he was in it.
I think the only other thing he had done or was going to do was like Step Up came like maybe right after.
Wow.
And I was like, but who is that? I mean, he's just so physically perfect that it's jarring. And yeah, I guess like the only other person on screen that really cut through like that might be like Brad from way back in Thelma and Louise.
In this movie, it's Channing and Brad sort of doing like a few scenes together, sharing the frame, and you go, where do I look?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, these two people who kind of just like are playing off of each other, like physically in a way, like one, like they both look like each other. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I can't wait to see. I'm going to watch it this weekend, especially that you're in it.
Oh, thank you. Brad is like an awakening for so many people. I hadn't seen Fight Club. I hadn't seen Thelma and Louise. I came in late on the Brad train.
Oh, okay.
But he was eating food. He was like stuffing his face in every scene. And I was like, he can make eating look sexy.
Yeah.
Great.
Some people got it. I want to ask, so when you said R&B music, who were your favorite artists?
Oh my God. Back in the day for me, it was, my first concert was Teddy Pendergrass, because my sister
dragged. Teddy Pendergrass.
Everybody from like the Jackson 5 to Marvin Gaye to, I mean, there's so many. And this is not R&B. One of my favorite songs is Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, that's a hard left.
I know that's a hard left. Listen, I'm a complex girl.
Absolutely.
You contain multitudes.
Yeah.
I similarly, like for some reason, like I'm a white kid from Long Island, but I started listening to like exclusively like late 90s R&B. So I looked, I was recently home and I found like a CD jacket and it was like, Brandy, Monica, Mariah, when she put out the Butterfly album, like Lauryn Hill, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was huge.
That was the best album ever.
Ever.
Still, really.
We just had the Grammys, and I was thinking to myself, like, that's all, that's great work. But then where are the formative albums? You know what I mean? Like Miseducation, that was like a formative album. So when you said R&B, I just thought of my own like awakening with that.
But look at how Bruno Mars, like how many awards he won last night that at the Grammys, that, you know, it goes to show you that there's still people that love, because I feel like he's sort of old school R&B.
He's a throwback.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and John Baptiste too, just like,
absolutely.
So what a talented, multi-talented. I didn't realize he was doing all that.
I didn't either. I was blown away, and I started following him, you know, as soon as I finished watching the show, and I'm obsessed.
Talk about a gorgeous man too. Oh my God.
Agreed.
He is stunning too. And it's so funny because like you see, you forget that these guys are like band leaders on late night shows, like Questlove winning the Oscar, John Baptiste sweeping the Grammys, and they're literally like on Colbert and Fallon.
Just how about that?
Killing it every night. And I thought to myself, like, that has to be a demanding around the clock job. Oh, yeah. I would imagine, because you're like musical directing these huge shows, and then they also have time to create these brilliant works.
Right.
I mean, just so cool.
Bravo, 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 all around, for sure.
Absolute.
Yeah. Bravo, 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 all
bravo,
around.
Bravo, bravo.
Oh, no, I didn't even realize I
could. Have no, you ever no, bravo, I didn't bravo, mean to. Bravo,
I didn't even. Oh, God, that's funny.
Have you ever done that? Or now it's like,
no,
you don't, you
not,
know not to.
That worked, apparently.
How is Denise?
I think she's good. We text, we haven't seen each other. She's good. She's working. I think she wanted to come back, but I think that door's closed now.
Oh, I remember when you went on Watch What Happens Live and said that.
I imagine that you have so many concentric circles of friends. But you write about this in the book in a way that feels great. Like you have your inner circle of friends that you are confidants with, and then there are like, oh, you call them the front row people.
Yeah.
And then there's some people who get relegated to the nosebleeds.
Yes. Sometimes you gotta put them up there if they're not living up to their, you know, front row status. But yeah, my front row is everything. Like we don't have to talk every day, but when we need each other, we are there, and we know who we are, and they uplift, they check you if they need to. I mean, it's what you want in friends. You don't want friends that are just gonna say, yes, you're amazing every day.
Of course.
That's not real.
Yeah.
So I live in front row.
That's great. I don't take that for granted in my life at all. Like I look around and I go, wow, I'm so lucky to have these people who I get to just be honest with me. And not everybody necessarily has that.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
Especially in this business that we're all in, you know, you want to know who's really there for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's also a reason why it's really important to keep those people that have been with you for a long time. Like, you know, I think Bowen said this the other day. I think we've been friends for 14 years.
14.
Like, and it's just so funny because like, so life has so many ups and downs and changes, but I still feel like I can say anything to Bowen, and I think he can say anything to me.
Yeah.
And I would get nervous if I felt like I couldn't tell my friend the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, they may not like it sometimes, but I think that's what being friends is, you know, is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I wanted to ask about like the relationship with you and everyone on The Real too, because the reason why it's my favorite panel show is because it, not to like,
For real?
Like,
you're not just saying that. That's amazing.
No, he means it.
I watch it. I don't watch it live every day, but I always go on YouTube and it's always all over my landing page, because I really do genuinely think you guys talk about important shit. Like I think that you talk about life things, and I love how emotional the panel gets, and it feels like it really walks the walk of being The Real, because, you know, I just think everyone on the show is such a star, and you have really filled it out in such a great way. But I've been such a fan of Adrienne's for so long. I remember the first time I saw Lonnie Love on Star Search. I'm not even kidding. I said, she's a star. And when she didn't win, I was like, this show is fucked up. And then, you know, Jeannie as well. I'm such a fan. And so not only do I like everyone individually, but it's the chemistry together that is not just handed to a panel.
No, you know what? It's been so great. I mean, I had been on the show before.
Yeah.
You know, promoting whatever it is that I was promoting, but it's another thing to see them every day, and especially now that we're in person. I mean, we can talk. I mean, sometimes they have to shut us up between commercial breaks so we can come back, you know, to the show, because we just have, although we're all women of color, we have so many different, like, our lifestyles are different. care about. And it's really great that there's no judgment. You can just say how you feel and we accept it even if we don't agree.
Yeah, there's genuine disagreement too without feeling nervous. Like when I watched The View, I actually had to stop because I feel
it's
nervous.
Too much.
Like, especially when Megan was there, I would always feel nervous. Like it made me anxious to watch, and I didn't need more social anxiety in my life. So, but when I watch The Real, it's offering perspective and there's real listening happening.
Yes, that's a really good point. Thank you for saying that. Thank you. I hope it doesn't go away.
What's the story?
I don't know. It started off as a rumor we haven't heard yet, and we end at the end of this month. So, you know, hopefully.
Readers, watch The Real.
You got to watch The Real. I feel like it's filling this hole that not to invoke this, but I feel like you all talk about health, which in a very like honest way that like I think hasn't been talked about since like Oprah. Like I feel like Oprah was like kind of the last daytime person to like talk about like specifically like women's health in a way that was just like necessary.
Yeah.
And I feel like the four of you kind of are able to hit on that in a very honest way, and the four of you are very open about what each person is going through.
No, I love that too. And I feel like we can also talk about our community better than anybody else because we're all living it, which is really great. So I do love that. I love that we talk about mental health. We talk about women's issues. We talk about everything and we have fun doing it. Today, actually, when I left, Lonnie had switched her wig around and she was ridiculous. It was hilarious.
God, Lonnie is just one of the funniest people.
She's got really it.
And not to bring up my own work again, but I do remember one of the first like people to compliment me on the iceberg.
Yeah.
Was Lonnie.
Who I admired was Lonnie. Lonnie tweeted it, like was just shouting it from the rooftops on Twitter, just being like, that was Bo and Yang. Wow. And I was like, Lonnie Love just saw that. Oh my God. Like I freaked out.
I think I was the first to screenshot that and send it to you because peek behind the curtain. I was actually sitting here on this couch recovering from a rhinoplasty that I needed to have. So I'm like literally, it wasn't enough that I didn't get it.
It was not elective.
I have like a full face bandage watching Bowen slay on television.
Oh,
and I was just
God.
Like, I'm so proud. I can't even cry or smile or laugh because it would hurt.
That's
but
funny.
But I then went on Twitter just to see what everyone was saying. And Lonnie Love had popped all the way off about the iceberg. It was so good.
It was so good. But she's so good about supporting people like that. She
love
really
that.
Is.
That's important.
Yeah.
We can totally tell that she's just like, she's real. She's on The Real.
Yeah.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Bursts.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my
God. It's Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Las Culturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Shall we move to I Don't Think So, Honey?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so this is sort of, you're never going to believe this, but an iconic segment of the podcast where we take 60 seconds to absolutely rant, drag, rave about a particular subject in pop culture that, you know, deserves it. And unfortunately, that time is now. So sorry in advance to the topics that we discuss. We iconically did not do a topical episode last week. We had a banked episode, so we did not get to touch on what might be one of the biggest pop culture events in recent history. And I have an I Don't Think So, Honey, that may disappoint our readers even more because I'm going to talk about the evening, but not that.
I see. Okay. This is perfect prefacing. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. This time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, people dragging Amy Schumer for that bit with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Clemens. So she asked Kirsten Dunst to get up because she thought she was a seat filler so she could flirt with Jesse Plemons. And people on Twitter actually thought she was being disrespectful to Kirsten Dunst.
No.
You guys, I Don't Think So, Honey. It's called humor. It's called jokes. I understand we had all just been through a shared traumatic moment watching what happened unfold, but we can't lose our sense of humor. Amy Schumer is the host of the show. Everything she does on camera is a planned bit. There are no moments of riffing. Well, as you know, that's probably not true, but with the host, that's not how it works. I Don't Think So, Honey. Also, people are not giving Kirsten Dunst the credit. Just because she played that expertly and made you think she was annoyed doesn't mean she wasn't in on it. She's an amazing actress. And yet again, Kirsten Dunst perfectly underplaying something and not getting the credit for it. I Don't Think So, Honey. Readers, do better.
And that's 1 minute.
If we don't know that's not a bit, we don't deserve to watch TV.
Right.
Come on.
She knows who Kirsten Dunst is. Come on. Who doesn't?
And
then she had to like get on Twitter and be like, guys, I knew it was Kirsten Dunst. It was a bit she was in on. Like, I would never disrespect the queen like that. Like, come on.
Come on.
come on. She's the damn host. It's going to be produced. Like, there have been meetings about every single thing she's going to do on that show.
She knows who's sitting in what seats. They have the whole seating chart and the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when she said to Jesse, "I'm such a fan of your work," she's like, "Who are you here with?" And he was like, "My wife." And she was like, "You're married to that seat filler?" I just thought the whole thing was great. And then to go online and have people ruin it by wasting their breath with their takes about how it was disrespectful. I think people have too many takes. That's my note for the Oscars of it all, is too many takes. Everyone needs to just relax.
Relax.
Relax. You know what I think it was? That, you know, the critical mass of, like, the slap discourse had been reached.
Yeah.
And then I think people were looking for other things to, like, talk about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hit the ceiling and they were like, "What do I do with all this energy?" And the answer was be
what else happened?
Reckless with it. Okay, so that's one to chew on for everyone at home. Bo and Yang, do you have it prepared? I don't think so, honey.
I do.
I'd love to hear that. One of my favorite things to hear. All right, Bowen, Yang, this is your I Don't Think So, Honey. Your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Jared Leto being still the worst coworker in Hollywood. There are these stories coming out now about him on the Morbius set taking 20 minutes to pee, or not even 20 minutes, but more than 20 minutes, having to be wheeled out in a wheelchair. It has nothing to do with his character. His character is not in a wheelchair in this movie, or is not physically, you know, incapable of walking himself to the restroom. This is another sort of pseudo method bullshit thing that he's putting his entire set through. And now there's reports of him aspiring to be a pedophile, to play a pedophile, and then going method with that.
Honey,
how do you think that's going to go? How do you think that's going to go? Jared Leto, we've got to end this. You're a 50-year-old man. Have some respect for yourself. Have some respect for your coworkers. You do not stand with IATSE. You do not stand with SAG. You do not stand with DGA. You're an anti-union man if you are literally running the clock and making people's days worse.
And that's 1 minute. When I heard Anne Hathaway say she felt like she had never even met him until the red carpet.
How about that? How about that? They probably were together for 4 months.
Have you ever had a co-star that was method, Garcelle?
No, not really. I don't think so. Oh, no. I had this one actor who I said I will never work with again.
Uh-huh.
He was so difficult. He would send notes in the middle of the night to myself and the director about how he saw the scene. At one point, his character had to cook my character breakfast. He wanted 6 different knives because the knives that they brought were not good enough. And I was just like, just act like you're cooking breakfast.
Yeah.
You're cooking breakfast.
Oh my God.
He was absurd. We all had, you know, our own parking spots, and he would come in with his fancy car and he'd go, "I'm worried about my car here." Well, everybody else's car is here.
Oh, that is not my God.
I don't think so, honey, but it shouldn't be.
No, but I had to ask because you really have worked with so many. And when I say of the greats, that means that, you know, some of them are going to be insane.
Crazy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right.
Have you ever gone fully method, or not fully method, but just like kind of like dipped your toe in it? What's your process?
I mean,
like?
I think it depends on if it's a dark character or someplace I have to go like really deep. That's, you know, that I want to be safe with. I will then zone out, no phone, stay in my trailer, get in the zone, whether it's music or whatever, and then I'll walk out and I'll do it, and I won't want to sort of break character while the director's giving notes or while they're, you know, just so that I can stay in the zone.
Sure. Right. I think you played a pretty villainous person in this short film that you and Lisa produced.
Yes, Lalo's House. Yeah, that was deep. That was based on a true story of these two little girls that get kidnapped, and they wake up and they're at a convent, and the convent is being run as a sex trafficking ring. So I played the lead nun who is in jail right now in Haiti.
Wow.
But I mean, it's a global issue. It's not just a Haiti issue, but we shot
right.
Yeah.
Wow. That must have been really intense.
That was really great to hear about that. And also great to hear about the acclaim that it received.
Yeah.
It and was the incredible. Director doing so well after it. That's
totally.
That's,
totally.
That had to be very gratifying.
Yeah.
To be a part
of it. It was actually.
But not as gratifying as completing an I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
Now, Garcelle, do you have a topic in mind?
I do.
Okay.
In that
Wonderful.
Case, this is Garcelle's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey, cancel. cancel culture. Get a fucking grip. Insane. We are human. We make mistakes. We're going to do stupid things. Give us, educate us. Don't cancel us. It's stupid. We're human
there
beings.
There you go. Yes.
Comedians, everybody, please lighten up. Laugh with them. Cheer them on. Cheer them on. All they want to do is make you laugh. Stop taking everything so personally. Don't hit anybody. Don't cancel
30 seconds.
About time we have some break. I'm so sick of it. The cancel culture. We're allowed to make mistakes. Who is the police? The cancel police. It's insane. I will not have it. Give me a time. I feel like I'm running out of speed.
15 seconds.
Okay. So stop canceling people. We are all human beings. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. We're still going to continue making mistakes. Let's love one another. Let's show some grace. And
if you
can't take it, get out of the room. Stop following the person you're sick of.
And that's 1 minute.
That's 1 minute.
There's this, at this point we've reached a place where like there's no nuance when anyone talks about like, you know, like wrongdoing. It's hard. And like, oh my gosh, especially after the Oscars, it's like, there's no way in for anybody anymore.
No.
To even like have a shared reality or shared like sense of like what even happened.
Yeah. It's just, I think we all need to lighten up. Not everything is racist. Not everything is, controversial. Let's just laugh a little bit. You know, let's have some fun.
You know, I would say recently, like when Jane Campion made her comment about Venus and Serena and the internet really went in on her that day, I kind of felt like I always feel nervous saying this because I'm aware that I'm a white man and so I shouldn't speak for necessarily or like weigh in on how these black women are to feel about how that was said. But to me, that felt like a bad joke or an attempt at humor by someone who wasn't funny trying to make a joke. And I was, and I think, you know, because the subjects of the joke were Venus and Serena, people obviously feel very protective over them and they jump to these certain conclusions. And also, you know, there's a world where they're correct, but also there's a world where they're not. And it almost feels like, in that instance,
right.
and then with everything that happened with Will Smith, I keep thinking, because in the days that followed the slap, I kept feeling worse and worse about it. And I realized the reason I kept feeling worse and worse about it was the discourse kept kind of sinking, you know?
I know. And I feel like I agree with you with Jane Campion. First of all, just think about it. This woman just won a big award. She got up there. She's not a comedian.
Yeah.
She tried to tell a joke and she meant well. You know, I think she was just saying, like, we're strong, we're going up against men. I go up against men all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The girls don't go up against men as tennis players.
Exactly.
They go up against men maybe in business. So it's just everybody is so uptight and nitpicking at everything.
Yeah. And we Matt and I can say, because we were at the Critics' Choice Awards where that happened.
Oh,
all parties involved at the after party were
twirling. No one was bothered.
Just having a blast.
Good.
Like, you know. we saw all parties involved truly getting their life at the Netflix after party. And then you go online and everyone was so upset for them and at them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wait, have you actually considered how this person actually feels about it? Or are we just assigning them a response, an emotional response?
What about the nerves? Maybe she was nervous. She just won. Like,
human.
It was just a bad joke.
Yeah.
It didn't land. You know what I mean? She's not a comedian. That's not what she does.
Right.
There you go. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, this was truly such a pleasure. And Garcelle, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence on our humble podcast.
I'm so happy. I was so happy. You guys are fantastic. And I have a quick favor before we wrap, but I'll let you wrap.
Yes.
Well, I was just going to mention, I would be remiss if I didn't remind everyone at home that Love Me As I Am, Garcelle's, this incredible book is out on April 12th. You can pre-order it now. I think we're putting the episode out so that we can say we had you first before you start hitting the circuit. But we have read it. We loved it. There's lots of, you know, you really, you've been through so much and risen above so much, and you've got a lot of really great nuggets in here and stuff that I would write down next to Brené Brown's shit any day, Garcelle.
That says a lot.
And Housewives Likewise. Of Beverly Hills is back on May 11th. Very exciting. And much more to come, I guess. Anything else you want to let people know about?
Much more to come.
Much more to come.
Yeah.
We end every episode with a song.
What's the song tonight?
We always decide in the moment.
Oh.
Girl, you better watch out.
Some guys are only about that thing. So listen to that.
I love it.
You can go cop the album Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, released in 1999, and it's in stores now, if there are still record stores. Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanique, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.